Climate Change Alarm Bells. I'm NPR Chief Meteorologist Paul Huttner. This is ClimateCast. 12 years. That's how long we have to fix our climate system before climate change impacts get much worse. That's the gist of this week's new Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report. A dramatic 45% cut in greenhouse gas emissions by 2030 will be needed to stave off major climate impacts. Is it possible? And if not, what will Earth's climate system look like in 12 years? John Abraham is a professor of thermal sciences at the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul.
What we learned from this report is it's no longer possible to avoid impacts of climate change. That's clear. However, if we want to avoid the really bad impacts, this is the last off-ramp. We're on a highway speeding towards some pretty catastrophic implications, and this is the last chance we have to get off. And if we take action now and reduce our emissions, we can leave this world a better place. And those are the messages from this report.
Obviously, we know the situation is now critical to avoid those worst atmospheric and economic impacts. I mean, that's one reason we do ClimateCast here. But did the climate scientists that you talk with frequently expect this level of alarm in this report?
The organizations like the IPCC are not known for being clear and candid in their warning. And this is a very clear and candid document. So we take heart because people need to know how serious this is. And so I'm happy that they use this kind of language, but it is not typical of the language they use.
Let's talk about the rate of change needed here, John. A 45% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by 2030 is huge. Renewables are growing fast, but not nearly fast enough to meet that goal. What's the realistic assessment for where we will be in 2030?
Well, I hate to say realistically, we will not make the cuts necessary to reach 45%, but that could change. I mean, just a few years ago, the United States was an international leader on climate change, and things changed for the worse very quickly. Things can change for the better very quickly as well. And one of the most appealing things for motivating change is economics. You are now able, here in Minnesota, to get electrons and electricity and energy from clean sources that are cost effective with fossil fuels. Not only that, we can power our homes and our cars in ways that create jobs in Minnesota. And since we've turned that corner on economics, since it no longer makes economic sense to use fossil fuels, I think that has the potential for making energy changes very dramatically and rapidly in our economy. So I am optimistic that certainly we can make these changes. It's uncertain to me whether we will, but the economics are pointed in the right direction.
And the technology is already there in many cases, we know. You mentioned the potential for getting our electricity from renewable sources. I'm a 100% wind customer, and that's simply a phone call or going online to make that happen. What other things can Minnesotans listening to us right now do to make a meaningful difference?
Well, the two big areas where you can get your energy are wind and solar. And I am like you. I get all of my power by wind energy, except Paul, recently, just 2 weeks ago, I installed solar panels on my house. So my entire house is powered by sunlight. And the excess energy that we generate is sold back to the grid. So we actually will turn this investment into a revenue stream. You can use more efficient vehicles and make your house more efficient and your appliances more efficient. Just to put some numbers in context, a typical family will spend about $20,000 over the lifetime of their car in gas. $20,000 just in gas. I have a super efficient vehicle. I didn't pay any extra for it, by the way, but I save about $12,000 over the lifetime of my car. So you can make decisions on how you drive, how you get to work if you use mass transit, what you eat. If you eat less meat, more grains, and more plant-based nutrition, you'll produce less emissions. So what you eat, what you drive, how you power your homes and vehicles, and also how you vote. I think it's important for people to vote for politicians that understand climate science and believe it's an important issue.
John, we look at the atmosphere. We see the response, the physical response that we're getting already to the changes, the chemistry changes we've made in the atmosphere. Take us down the road 10, 15, 20 years, if we continue to change the atmospheric chemistry at this rate, what does our atmosphere look like in 20 years?
Well, it looks very different from what it is now. What's happening is the new climate is the old climate on steroids. So bad rainstorms are becoming catastrophic rainstorms. Moderate hurricanes are becoming really powerful hurricanes. And we look at, for example, Hurricane Harvey and Superstorm Sandy and Irma. We know those were made much more powerful because of the warm waters they went over. We know that the drought that recently passed in California was made more potent because of climate change. And we know that in Minnesota, we're getting more extreme storms, more flooding. We're whipsawing from or seesawing from one extreme to the other. So we know that that's happening, and it's going to continue to get worse. And as a result, it's going to cost us in our pocketbooks. The longer we delay action, the more expensive this problem will be.
I want to get your reaction on this valve turners trial. The judge ruled an acquittal this week. He also ruled last week there would be no climate science testimony in the trial. I'm curious about what your reaction is to, first of all, this kind of action by climate activists, and second of all, the way this trial has unfolded.
Well, that's a really good question. And I was, in full disclosure, I was anticipating being part of that trial as what's called an expert witness on the topic of climate change. What this represents is people recognizing that inaction is costly, and they're trying to do things to bring the issue to the forefront and help our society move forward to take action. With respect to climate change and valve turning, not taking action on climate change is going to cost us and cause damage to our societies and our communities. And it'll be interesting to see if you see more actions like this or what the ramifications are for this worldwide or nationwide. But litigation is an area where this climate issue will be played out. In fact, there's a national court case going on now, and I believe it's Juliana versus the United States, which deals with the added costs that climate change are being passed on, added costs being passed on to our future generations. And there's this whole situation of equity. I mean, this climate change is costing and will cost certain people in our society money. And in fact, it's going to cost all of us a lot. And the question is, what actions can we take now to mitigate that, and who's responsible? And this is a conversation we all need to take part in.
And in fact, it's already costing us money. We see that in infrastructure changes along the coast. We see that in increased insurance rates and catastrophic risk models that the insurance industry is dealing with now.
That is exactly right. And we're seeing it worldwide. It's not just here in Minnesota, and it's not just in the United States. It's worldwide. And we're seeing it manifest just this week in storms like Michael. So our thoughts go out to people in Michael's path, but it would have been a lesser storm had it not been for human warming.
John Abraham, thermal sciences professor at the University of St. Thomas. Thanks for your perspective today.
Pleasure.
My name is Munira Burhi. I'm 18, and I'm a freshman at Minneapolis College. There was an application for an internship for climate generation. So I applied because I really didn't know anything about the climate, issues around the world. So I thought it would be, a great opportunity to learn about it. They told me I had to give a speech in front of the governor during lobby day. So there was something in my head that I was like, this will be good for me. I didn't know how climate change could affect my family back home. But the more that I thought about it, I thought about how there was a drought in Somalia recently, and I explained to the governor about the circumstances that my family were in. They didn't have enough food, all their livestock died, so they didn't have anything to live on. So that was really hard to talk about. I was really nervous to talk about it in front of over 50 people. Really, I was really happy with it. My biggest worry is that no one is gonna care about it. There's a lot of politicians that say it's false and it's a hoax. They just won't listen, and that really scares me because it affects a lot of people, just not just in the United States, but all around the world. And if you can help, why wouldn't you?
That's ClimateCast this week. With thanks to Climate Generation, I'm NPR Chief Meteorologist Paul Huttner.